Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, breaking news, boys and girls, on the Nationals. They won a game. No, I'm just teasing. They had won, lost the last two. They had won two in New York. I got it. It hadn't been that long. But they did beat the Braves this afternoon, which, great. Awesome. James Wood, two home runs. That's great. But more importantly, they have reportedly named a new head of baseball operations. Who? The man who will reportedly be replacing Mike Rizzo and, I guess, deciding the fate of the current scouting staff and, what's his name? That was the assistant. God, why is his name drawing a blank? You know what I'm talking about. Paul Toboni. T-O-B-O-N-I. According to Jeff Passan first, the Red Sox assistant general manager, who is quote-unquote widely regarded as one of the best young executives in the league. They are finalizing a deal, according to Passan. He rose rapidly at the age of 35. To become the assistant general manager for the Red Sox and is widely regarded, again, as one of the best young executives in Major League Baseball. Now, I would say this. To me, like, the Red Sox have what I would determine a pretty good farm system. They brought up the kid earlier this year that was basically considered the top prospect in baseball, Roman Anthony. They have guys like, and these names are not going to ring true, but in baseball circles, they do. They got a bunch of prospects from the Garrett Crochet deal. I should say they traded a bunch of prospects in the Garrett Crochet deal, right? So, again, a lot of people have a lot of good things to say. Grant, who obviously knows a lot of people in baseball and works with a lot of minor leagues, says the Nationals are hiring one of baseball's rising front office stars. Ownership taking a huge swing here. Toboni's been with the A's and the Red Sox. He's been on a meteoric rise. Scout to senior VP in a short time. Now he'll get to run his own shop. Andrew Golden confirming the news. Mark Zuckerman confirming the news. But the deal has to still be finalized. Let's see. What else? Talk Nats. They don't have anything just yet on the hire other than just posting the news that Passan has. Let's see what Rich has from the Nats report. I would like to tell you that I have a lot of information on Paul Toboni. I don't. I can tell you, okay, where he's come from. Fast rising, young, 35. I know this. I know they had reached out to Theo Epstein. I don't know if that was for the job or to maybe see what he thought about certain candidates. I don't know. But, you know, like, you could do a lot worse than this. Probably. Like, if you would have brought in, I don't know, a recycled general manager, and I'm not one of these recycled guys suck, We've talked about this over and over and over again. If you would have brought in a recycled general manager, I don't know, like an Omar Minaya, just using that as an example, or a Jim Duquette, no offense, or somebody like that, right? Would that have inspired any hope? Would that have inspired any confidence? I don't think so. I don't think so. So this might fail. This might fail. This might not work out. We'll obviously need a couple of years to determine that. But if you just look at how this team needs to operate with young players and their farm system, because they're not going to pay people. They're not going to pay people significant chunks of money. They're just not. And it's more likely than unlikely that James Wood and Dylan Cruz and Matt McKenzie Gore, that two out of the three of those, if not all three, are going to be gone in a couple of years. It's just, that's the reality. So you need somebody that doesn't just value, that doesn't just talk the talk when it comes to a farm system, but somebody that knows how to build one and somebody who knows how to accentuate one. Yeah, I guess that would make sense. Somebody who believes in it as not the core, but the backbone, the blood, if you will, of the organization. Why? Because A, it's the most productive and fruitful way, even though there are problems with young players. As we've all found out watching this team, young players are inconsistent. Hell, veteran players are inconsistent. Young players are really inconsistent. See James Wood. See CJ Abrams. Young players are inconsistent. But young players, while they're inconsistent, hopefully they're working to get better and more consistent, and they're cheap while doing so. As opposed to expensive free agent veterans, like, I don't know, the Braves signed in Jerickson Profar, who immediately went and got popped for illegal substances or performance-enhancing drugs and got suspended for half the year. What a dumbass that guy was. You see what I'm getting at? You got to pay these guys to get them big-time established money for what they've done for somebody else and hope that they'll do it for you and hope that they won't get suspended or arrested or be a total flop. Whereas if you deal with the young players mostly, while it might be frustrating, And then you can certainly add a little salt and pepper in terms of a veteran player or two. While it might be frustrating, you at least get to see their development level to level, step to step, like we've had for James Wood. Not necessarily McKenzie Gore or CJ Abrams, but for a little bit of time with Dylan Cruz. Again, not exactly, but you get the point. You get to see their development step by step. Brady House would be a perfect example, right? You get to see their development step by step. And then you get to see what they're like on the major league level. And you determine if they can play at that level. And what you might need off of that. And what might happen off of that. But you don't have to pay them all that much money. Now, you could. Lots of teams, the Braves being central among them, sign a lot of their young guys in their rookie year in Major League Baseball, or their second year in Major League Baseball. But you don't have to. You don't have to make that commitment, like the Nationals made with Keibert Ruiz. You don't have to make that commitment. You can let it ride. But if you have a guy that's 35 years old running the operation, Mike DiBartolo was the name I was stuck on. Sorry. We don't know what he's going to be. If you have a guy that's 35 years old and has risen through an organization like the Athletics and then to the Red Sox, and you say, well, the Red Sox are a big budget team. What does he know about building a young team with no budget? Well, again, he came from the Athletics. He's 35 years old. He's not a dinosaur stuck in his ways. He's probably very analytically savvy, which will drive me crazy. But if they can get the type of players that the Tampa Bay Rays seem to get over and over and over again, analytics-minded and very low cost outside of dopey Wander Franco, I'm all for this. I'm all for this. And at 35 years old, hey, man, I'm sure he's got lots of fresh ideas. I'm sure he's got, I got to say, I am surprised by this. I am surprised that the Nationals didn't just do what I thought they were going to do, and that's stay in-house with Mike DiBartolo. Now, he could still stay. But the Nationals said, okay, we need to examine other options. Now, they were talking about other candidates. One turned them down. Then there was Chernoff in Cleveland. I forgot his first name. Not Mark Chernoff, who was his dad, who was a longtime radio executive. But you get the point. They were talking to other people outside the organization. I just thought when push came to shove, they were probably going to stay with Mike DiBartolo because he's in-house. He's been running the show. They let him run the draft. But good for them. I don't know if it's like a sexy pick that Nationals fans are going to go, ooh. But let me ask you again. If they picked up Ruben Amaro, who used to run the Phillies, If they inked, again, Omar Minaya, who used to be an executive with the Yankees and run the Mets, if they landed one of the Duquette brothers, would that get anybody's juices flowing? Hell no. Hell no. So while there isn't going to be a parade out front of Nationals Park for season tickets because they hired 35-year-old Paul Toboni? Maybe they've given themselves a chance to have a parade in 4 or 5 years. Maybe. Don't know. Whereas, really, the last 5 years, 6 years, they've had no chance. So I got to give some kudos to the learners. Now, listen. I'm also not dumb. I realize that this dude at 35 as an assistant GM and as a fast riser could have jumped at this opportunity, and maybe they paid him, I don't know, $1 million a year, $1.5 million a year. And somebody established or with a better track record or veteran or what have you would have cost $3 or $4 million a year. I don't know. I have to think about that. I have to consider that as part of the equation, but I don't know. But for now, I'm going to say, okay, I'm on board. I believe. I hope. I shouldn't say I believe. I hope that this is the right step. Fresh blood out of the organization, completely different way of doing things. Because the other way wasn't working. It's not that Mike Rizzo didn't know. Mike Rizzo didn't believe really heavily in analytics. He certainly believed in the farm system, but made a lot of questionable choices. A lot of guys failed, quite honestly. It's not all the GM's fault or the president of baseball operations' fault. Not by any means. You think it's Mike Rizzo's fault that Elijah Wood can't hit a breaking pitch? No. I mean, now, there was a book on him. Not Elijah Wood. Elijah Green. There was a book on him before that he struck out too much, and that book has been written. So, I mean, certainly he deserves blame, but is it all him? No, it's the player's fault. But we tend to blame executives, managers, coaches first. So I hope, with the talent that they have right now, and make no mistake about it, they've got talent. James Wood, even though he strikes out way too much, Dylan Cruz, C.J. Abrams for as long as he's here, obviously Brady House, and others. And they're going to get Josiah Gray back next year. They've already shut him down after making some rehab starts in the minor leagues. God willing, everything's okay. And at some point, they'll get DJ Hurz back. And at some point, they'll get Travis Sikora back, probably late next year. And that probably won't be in the majors, but maybe that's a 2027 thing. Hopefully, the Nationals are back to competing for at least 500 in a year or two. Hopefully next year. It might be 2 years. Maybe it's more than that, but I doubt it because they've got the good young core. And now it's time to supplement and add to it and be aggressive. And I presume this guy wouldn't take this job. Paul Taboney. I assume he wouldn't take this job unless he was given some level of assurance, hey, man, we're tired of being a laughingstock. We are going to invest in all sorts of technology. Here's what we're planning on buying. You tell us what we need to buy, we'll buy it. And we will have a budget of X, Y, and Z. Okay. Where do I sign? Let's go. Let's do baseball together. Now, that might be 15, 16 minutes too much for some of you that don't care about baseball. It's a big day. I don't know if I would have done it today. If I would have let it leak today, but maybe they didn't let it leak today. Today. But I think Nationals fans should be hopeful. I don't know about excited. Hopeful is what I would say. All right, 318 on the Team 980. Back to the foosball. Jaden Daniels has spoken. Do we have any of the audio or?
Yeah, let's.
You want to play that when we come back?
Yeah, let's break and then we can play.
Yeah,
decide how much.
Why don't
play.
We do that? Yeah, why don't we play a little chunk of Jaden Daniels, see what he had to say after practice for the Commanders out in Ashburn in Command Land, right here on the Team 980 Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
AMAC just told me something right as I was about to go on the air that, like, for all of the crap that you give me about my ridiculous opinions and takes and spins and pessimism and whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, Guy, you just tried to sabotage the show.
Oh, my gosh. You're so dramatic. That's dramatic. I told him I farted, guys. Yeah. No, because
literally, as I was about to talk.
Because like, what happens is, like, I say, like, I get in your ear, and as I got in your ear to, like, tell you that,
tell
your,
that,
mic is,
hot.
That your mic is
no,
live.
No. to tell me that I'm hot.
Sure. As I do that, I kind of like, your mic's hot. Like I do one of those, like, mic's hot. And I did it subconsciously, and I just wanted to.
Out.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know why I sounded that
right.
way.
Right. And I would have never known. I would have never known. Is that from that bougie salad that you had?
Yeah, there is a lot of greens in that salad. Mm-hmm. As you know, greens do help with digestion.
They do.
Eat your greens, people.
They do.
That's my
I'm having
tip.
A terrific blueberry muffin right now with that little crispy, kind of crunchy coating at the top. I got it from Panera. And I got it for free because it was my birthday on Friday. So I logged into my account and it said, you got a free birthday treat or whatever, and it's expiring tomorrow.
Mm.
So I said, well, I'm not going back to Panera again tomorrow.
Yeah.
I might as well get it today. So I Cashing. Got me a blueberry muffin.
Got you a blueberry muffin.
And some broccoli and cheese soup, which I haven't had yet.
Blueberry and most breading, like blueberry waffles, blueberry. Mm-hmm. We were talking about waffles mm-hmm. versus pancakes yesterday, blueberry pancakes. Blueberry bread, like anything blueberry filled or accentuated yeah. is usually fire.
Love blueberries.
Yeah.
Blueberries are just the best. I mean, way better. Like strawberries are fine. Grapes are good. But blueberries? God help me. Just wonderful. Just a wonderful thing that the inventors of food created. I don't know who decided to create it. I have a story coming up in just a couple of minutes of something that also happened during the break. But not right now. Because right now, we want to bring you Jaden Daniels. AMAC said it's about 4.5 minutes. AMAC is probably right on target on that. So stay tuned. Listen to it. Jaden Daniels addressing the media just within the last 20, 25 minutes or so after practice out in Ashburn.
Mr. Daniels, can you give us an assessment of where you are right now as far as come Sunday?
It's up to the doctor. It's not my decision.
For you, I mean, where do you think you're at? And
I feel good.
Watching Marcus do what he did on Sunday, obviously you're a big part of that as well. What did you think?
Super happy for him. He deserves everything, and he's been my biggest supporter, so it was my turn last week to be his.
This is kind of taking a step back, but did you know that you had been hurt in the Green Bay game? How did you feel? What gave you the confidence to continue and finish out the game?
I didn't know. I mean, I'm a football player at the end of the day. You know, he might take some shots here and there, and it wasn't stopping me from going out there and finishing the game, so I finished the game.
And then what was your reaction when Coach Quinn told you that you weren't going to be out there on Sunday?
I'll leave that between me and him. It wasn't like okay, yeah, I'm going to sit out, so.
Can you tell us at all how the knee injury affects you the most?
I don't know. I feel good, so I don't think it affects me.
And the Terry is also dealing with an injury. Unclear to us anyway what his status might be going forward. But if he is unable to play, how big a loss is that for this offense?
He's Terry. He does what he does. He makes big plays, but, you know, we kind of was dealing with that throughout training camp, so we very much have the next man up mentality. We're confident in other people to make plays.
Jane, how much running and cutting have you been able to do so far?
Enough to feel good if I play on Sunday. Like I said, it's not my decision.
And then have you had to play with a brace before?
No.
What's that feel like just wearing it even in practice?
Something to get used to.
Would you have to wear one if you do play on Sunday?
The doctors haven't said that decision yet. So that'll be a conversation.
Do you feel any level of discomfort when you're out there?
Nah, I'm myself.
Okay.
How does your preparation change this week or even last week when you're getting ready as if you're going to play, but you're also dealing with an injury?
None changed at all. I'm here early, and I'm still doing the same thing. Might have to do a little extra, but nothing changed at all.
Game, were you up in a box watching? And what was that perspective like for you to watch an NFL game from up top? When was the last time you watched a game the team you played with, played for, from up there?
The answer to the second question first, never. I mean, it was different. You kind of just see everything differently, bird's eye view. But I was just up there cheering on my guys. You know, I'd rather have been on the field, been able to compete with those guys, but that just wasn't part of the plans.
Like, as you're watching plays unfold from up there, and do you see it differently because you're at a different view, but in your head, are you like, get the ball here, get the ball there, because you're looking at it differently?
I mean, yeah, that's probably the easiest thing. I feel like that's why a lot of people have a lot of comments of, what we're doing and what we should do. But they're not actually out there in the fire. So no shot to anybody. But, it's a lot different from sitting up top and watching the game to actually being out there and playing.
All right. That is it. That's Jaden Daniels, a man of very few words. And I mean very few words. The great part about Jaden Daniels is he's easy to transcribe and quote because he says literally nothing. But you heard, I tried to send out a few quotes there on X. Says he feels good. It's up to the doctors. He was not exactly happy that he was benched. Not benched, but not active on Sunday. He wanted to play. Says, quote, I'm here early, might have to do a little bit extra, but nothing else has really changed. He was happy for Marcus Mariota. He said, when asked by John Keim of ESPN, if he can, how much running and cutting has he done? He said, enough. Said he basically felt good. And that, again, the decision is not up to him. Listen, it sounds like he's going to play, right? I mean, we'll see how he comes back into the facility tomorrow, what he's labeled as, all that. But it sounds like he's going to be able to play.
If he was hurting, do you think he's saying that? Of course, I don't think he's saying that to the media, but this may be me reading into it too much. It sounds like he's that same way with his coaches. Like, I'm fine, and it's clear that the doctors are saying otherwise. Playing all last year with the broken rib, we've got into that already.
Mm-hmm.
And you've kind of touched on this already, like before, with this being tough attitude. And I don't know if he's necessarily looking at it from that stance. He probably just wants to play and loves the game. There is like a certain element, because that kind of, for me, just as a fan of football, I enjoy watching Jaden Daniels play. I don't mind saying that as a Giants fan. It alarms me a little bit because it's like, okay, it's one thing to say this to the media. Like, how are these conversations going with doctors and coaches? You played with broken ribs before. How much do we need to like be over top of you in order to save you from yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Because like,
so you're concerned that he's such a tough guy and such a football player.
But he's not going
to
be honest.
That they're going to have to regulate and make decisions basically for him because they know how tough he is.
Yeah. Like,
and not that he's lying, but that he wants to play so much and be the leader and whatever.
Yeah.
That he might not exactly tell them how he's feeling.
Yeah, I do not buy for an instance that he doesn't feel any type of discomfort in his knee.
I'm probably there with you.
Yeah.
But I would also say this generally,
mm-hmm.
generally, if you're feeling discomfort in your knee, they're going to be able to see it. Somebody, trainers, doctors, Kingsbury, Ryan Johnson, somebody will be able to see it, I would think, even with a brace on. if he wears a brace on Sunday, which I would imagine he would. Sounded like he was wearing one at practice today.
But I guess my concern is less so with this injury, but head injuries are a thing. Mm-hmm. Like nagging toe or like maybe he's a little hobbled or something's bother him and you can't really, it's not always something you can see. Like,
I think you're right on. Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely correct. I'm worried. Last week we said, you know, he shouldn't play, no reason to play, it's one game, you know, give it extra time. And I'm going to tell you, AMAC, I feel like right now he's going to play, barring a setback. But I would be more inclined to be extra cautious. Why? Even though he might drive me crazy, the reason why would be because whatever is going on with the knee, it can't get any worse by not playing. It can get worse by playing too early or too quick. It can't get any worse. Well, I should say, it can get worse in practice, right? He could tweak it in practice. Nothing to say that he won't or wouldn't. Brace or not. Contact or not. But in a game, there is contact. He can get bent up like a pretzel. So I do think, ideally, they should sit him another week. And maybe that seems like it's a consideration, but I'm guessing on a Wednesday, I'm guessing that if he can practice tomorrow and then fully practice on Friday, he'll play. If he's limited today and tomorrow, tomorrow and Friday, I would say there's probably a 60-40 chance that he plays. If he misses Thursday but comes back Friday and practices limited, I would say 75-25 Mariota. If he misses tomorrow and Friday, obviously we know where that lands us. That's how I kind of see it right now. But they know what kind of competitor he is. They have to be, people are going to be offended by this, they have to be the adults in the room. They have to look out for his best interests. Because his best interest in his mind is to play and to be a tough guy and to just wear it. Just like staying in that game in week two. After he took the knee shot, first play of the fourth quarter, he stayed in. Then he took the ankle bent up twist in the pile with about 5.5 minutes left. What did he do? Stayed in the game. He was hobbling, stayed in the game. He's a tough guy. He's a competitor. He's a war daddy. He's everything you would want. But to your point, they're probably going to have to protect him from himself, right? And from him saying, no, I'm good. I'm fine.
Yeah, I don't think I'm less concerned about this injury because it seems like there is a lot of precaution. But my thing is just moving forward. Like playing, it's broken ribs. Yeah. He's young, but for him to play the whole season or most of the season on broken ribs.
Well, it's a broken rib.
Yeah, but
not ribs, rib.
But, yeah, but it's just, and then him saying like there's no discomfort, like, and again, he's talking to the media, so
yeah,
how
you have to factor that in.
Yeah, but like from the tone of that conversation, it just, I don't know how he's talking to doctors and coaches, and you don't want to see him put himself in greater danger with certain injuries.
I'm with you.
Yeah, so
I'm with you.
Not as concerned for this weekend, but moving forward.
See, I'm more
forward.
Concerned about this weekend,
yeah.
But I understand and recognize your concern for the future.
Yeah.
I totally get it. Totally get it. And the more we learn about Jaden, just the more we realize how much football means to this guy. And quite honestly, even though he was off to a little bit of a rough start, how lucky we are to have him in this market.
He a dog.
I mean, I would love to see him come back when he comes back this Sunday, next Sunday, whatever, and light the world on fire in a football connotation. I would love to see that. I don't. What I don't want to see him do is struggle, whether it be for accuracy, timing, running, not running, being hemmed in, gimping around, all that stuff. That's what I worry about big time. All right, quick trending alert. Then we'll wrap it up with a story. It's story time. Next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so you just heard from Jaden Daniels. He is expected to be officially labeled as limited when the injury report comes out for Week 4, Commanders, Falcons, Sunday at 1 in Atlanta. Terry McLaurin not at practice and seeking multiple medical opinions on his what is being termed for now a quad injury. But it certainly sounds like there's something more serious to McLaurin's health status than we currently know. Meanwhile, speaking of health, the Eagles are going to be without edge pass rusher Nolan Smith Jr. He's expected to be out after straining his triceps in the win, and the improbable win, over the LA Rams. He is now on injured reserve. He could return as early as a Monday night game on November 10th against Green Bay, but that would be the earliest because the team has a November 2nd bye, so he'll have to miss the four games and then the bye, and then could return after that. The Eagles also announced that cornerback Jacorian Bennett and rookie wide receiver Darius Cooper are also being put on IR as well. So not the Commanders with the only injuries around the league. Speaking of injuries, a big one in Cleveland from baseball, David Fry, has facial fractures and a broken nose. He's out 6 to 8 weeks after being hit in the face by a Tarik Skubal pitch last night as the Guardians continue to make an amazing comeback in the American League Central. The Nationals beat the Atlanta Braves 4-3 to salvage a game out of that series, and they reportedly tapped Paul Toboni, the assistant GM of the Boston Red Sox, to be their new president of baseball operations. And that's what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, before we get to a quick little fun story, again, we've got a lot going on. Jaden Daniels, you just heard from him. He spoke, he practiced, sounds positive, but, again, says it's not up to him, whatever. We'll have to see what happens Thursday or Friday. No Terry McLaurin, he's seeking 4,000 different opinions. That doesn't sound great. And then the Nationals have a new baseball executive, top baseball executive, Paul Toboni from the Boston Red Sox. We don't know what that means for DeBartolo. Maybe he stays on in some sort of executive capacity. We don't know exactly what Toboni's title is going to be, right? Mike Rizzo was the general manager and president of baseball operations. I mean, they could separate it. They could do it together, you know, so we don't know. So if you missed any of the show in which we covered the McLaurin injury and whether or not it was related to training, which people pretty much quickly ruled out outside of like one or two maybe, which I also don't think it has anything to do with it, and my assertion that Terry McLaurin might be just like less gung-ho to run through a brick wall at this point. If you missed any of that, check out the podcast after the show, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast, Odyssey app. AMAC's got it all cut up, labeled for you every day, every hour, every segment. If you call in, obviously you get to hear yourself back and all that good stuff. Let's get to our guy, D.C. in Calvert County, here before we tell a quick, funny little story. What's up, D.C.? How are you?
Great day, Russell. I'm excellent, man. How are you?
I am always good when I hear your voice. Thank you, my friend.
Man, come on. That's what it is. You know, you bring life to people. You don't have this cookie cutter radio. And I definitely appreciate y'all taking my call in this last segment. But I just wanted to, like, you know, to say the tough guy mentality or whatever. It's just football players are wound up a little different. So it's really not looked at as being tough. Even if you look at Dan Quinn, he got ran over on the sideline, nose bleeding, whatever, whatever. Even you, Russell, I don't know if you played sports before or not, but, you know, you're willing to sacrifice time, sickness, or whatever. I was explaining to AMAC, and I like AMAC's perspective on this, too. And it's just a toughness thing. Even with Terry now, Terry's older. He fought for more money. He got a family. He got a child coming, all of that. His health is more of a thinking point, so he's listening to doctors to get a more educated opinion. Jaden is still young. Jaden is still at the hunger stage of, I'm the leader of this team. I want to be out there, because he knows there's players on the team that's hurt that's not on the injury report. We all know that. Whether they're injured or just hurt, it's people out there playing. So he's going to – you always push yourself to the limit as an athlete. But as a football player, part of pushing yourself to the limit is, okay, do I play? I can play through this pain. So he's going to try it out. Now it's up to the doctors and the coach to be like, all right, we know what you can do. We see you doing it at 90%. You're still not yourself. You're going to have to sit out. But he's going to push it to the limit, because that's what football players do, like playing through fractured ankles or playing through a concussion. Back in the day, I saw stars, and you say, I saw stars. It was a concussion. You know, that's just the mentality of a football player. And I don't think he's being a tough guy. I just think he's being another guy. You know what I'm saying?
I can see all that. And listen, I mean, we want our athletes, we want our people to be tough mentally, right? I guess there's a difference between being tough physically and reckless physically. But we want them to be tough mentally, and I don't question in Terry, I don't question in Jaden what kind of mentally tough people we have or they have. So that's the good thing, right? You don't question whether they love football. You know they do.
1,000%. Yeah. I think there's a difference in being tough and being foolish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, or reckless. Absolutely.
And he's participating in practice, and he's wearing a knee brace and all of this, and he's not even looking like himself. Like, even Phillip Rivers, he wasn't a mobile quarterback, but he moved around in the pocket. He played with a torn ACL. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Thanks, DC. I got to run. I appreciate you, as always. Good to hear from you. That's our guy, DC. I just walked. Doc Walker just walked in. He's coming up at 4 o'clock. Burgundy and Gold today. And Doc dropped off one of his Washington Legends football trading cards. It's got a picture of him catching a pass. And on it, he says, happy birthday, Rooster. Signed it. Doc also walked in earlier with a birthday gift, a big bag. I don't even know what it is. I think I know what it is. But I haven't even had time to open it yet because we have no commercial breaks.
And what'd you get him again?
And I got him nothing for his birthday.
Wow, great friend.
Doc, I love you. I got you nothing for your birthday, and I'm very delinquent, and I will get you something because I feel bad for getting you nothing. I might have bought lunch, but I'm not sure. I can't remember. Doc's a good man. He's coming up in about 10 minutes or so on the other side of 4 o'clock. Just real quickly before we break for Dumb Dumb of the Day, you walked out during one of the last breaks. And you started talking crap to young Anthony Haney.
To young Anthony Haney. I'm sure he's
who is
that
wearing an Indianapolis Colts jersey.
Yeah.
To celebrate the Colts 3-0 start and that of his best friend, Zaire Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, legitimately, they are best friends. Mm-hmm. He goes to a bunch of games. I think they were fraternity brothers. They're like best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Zaire Franklin, middle linebacker of the Colts.
Yeah.
So he's wearing a Colts jersey, Zaire's Colts jersey. And you go out there like a tough guy.
Like a tough guy?
Like Tommy Tough Guy over there, Tony Tough Guy.
Don't stop sizing it.
And you're like, hey, man, you guys all talk crap. And you used a different word. When I wear my Giants jersey, but you can't wear that. You look like a fool.
That was weird. Okay, go ahead.
So I'm just kind of wondering why you were giving poor Anthony Haney crap.
No, I just
because you're a little sore that we like say, hey man, it's a Washington D.C. radio station. They're playing the Giants. Maybe you don't want to parade around in giant blue, like every day for a week.
Yeah, I know how that could have seemed a bit taunting.
I mean, I mean, you talk about me being a ball buster. Holy, I mean, googly moogly. I mean, like, you had an entire Model store on for a week.
Yeah. I think I do as you like to call it, ball busting a little silently. But, yeah, that was a choice by me. Uh-huh. But
how did that choice work?
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely – I think it didn't work as much because of the final score and how we looked and how we continue to look. But – yeah, I just wanted to get in the mindset of, you know, my compadres, my fellow colleagues, make sure that we're treating everybody evenly. Okay. That's what I'm all about. Yeah. Like, okay. Everybody gets it evenly.
I just thought it was interesting how you went out there and yelled at Anthony for wearing a Colts jersey. I just found it interesting. I know you're a little bitter and sore about Danny Dimes. I know that.
Oh, man, he looks so good.
I know that.
Yeah.
I know that. Yeah. More on the NFL tomorrow. Dum-dum of the day. A quick one. Lane Kiffin has something to do with this. Next. Alrighty, yes indeed. Dateline Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Mississippi. Ole Miss football coach Lane Kiffin, who has a lovely looking young daughter. Not that young, but you get the point. Landry Kiffin. Well, daddy, head coach of Ole Miss, who are undefeated, are hosting the 4-0 LSU Tigers this weekend in a dual top 15 college football matchup. Should be a great game. Can't wait for it. The problem? His daughter, Landry, decided to finally reveal that she is dating LSU linebacker Whit Weeks. Lucky man. So, that of course drew attention. She's been dating Whit Weeks for apparently weeks, maybe months, but she had not made it public. There were hints, but not made it public. So, OutKick, whatever, responded to it, said, I really love college football. Lane Kiffin's daughter, Landry, letting the public know she's dating LSU linebacker Whit Weeks 5 days before LSU and Ole Miss play. This is peak mind games. So what did her daddy do in response to that on social media? The head coach of Ole Miss said, quote, take the over. Daddy ain't playing around. Don't you be dealing with my daughter, you... I'm going to throw all over your ass. Ole Miss is a 1.5-point favorite. Over under 55.5. Take the over at Ole Miss, baby. And how about Landry? Beautiful young woman. Kappa, Kappa, Gamma, baby. And Ole Miss. She's an Ole Miss guy. Girl. And she's dating an LSU linebacker and announces it the week that daddy's got to play LSU. That's the problem here. Honey, what are you doing? Wait until after the game. Nobody needed to know this. Maybe she doesn't like her dad. I don't know. Hopefully she does. That's it. All right, we got to say goodbye. Doc is up next. Burgundy and gold today. The doctor just gave me a card, a gift. I mean, he's so nice. Make sure you listen to him. Anthony Haney in his Colts jersey. Thanks to AMAC. Don't forget, Quan Martin scheduled to join the show tomorrow after practice. Sometime between 2:30 and 3:15 is what they're telling us. So we will have that for you. Have a great rainy Wednesday in the DMV. Adios.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.